Representatives from Iran and the US hold talks in Geneva as part of nuclear negotiations between Tehran and the P5+1. The two sides reached an interim six-month deal back in November, which took effect in late January. The International Atomic Energy Agency says Iran has been complying with its part of the deal, which includes restrictions on parts of its nuclear program. But have the US and the EU respected their commitment to ease sanctions? A lot of observers say the US sanctions regime has been devised in such a complicated way that the relief promised in the November deal cannot effectively be realized. So is a win-win nuclear deal still possible? I'm Homa Lezgi, and you're watching The Debate.
Representatives from Iran and the United States are in Geneva for face-to-face talks. Deputy Foreign Ministers Abbas Araghchi and Majid Takht-Ravanchi are heading the Iranian delegation. The U.S. team is led by Deputy Secretary of State William Burns and top White House advisor Jake Sullivan, with main nuclear negotiator Wendy Sherman joining them. Discussions began on Monday and will continue on Tuesday. They are part of nuclear negotiations between Iran and the P5+1 group, comprising of the five permanent members of the UN Security Council plus Germany. Tehran-Washington talks come ahead of a July deadline when an interim nuclear deal between Iran and the P5+1 will expire. The six-month deal was reached in November and came into effect on January 20. Under the agreement, Iran has curbed some aspects of its nuclear program in return for easing some Western sanctions. The International Atomic Energy Agency says that Iran has been complying with the terms of the deal, known as the Geneva Joint Plan of Action. But the question is, have the U.S. and other P5+1 members kept their side of the deal?
No, they're not doing that. And here's the point. They agreed under the deal to provide Iran with passenger plane parts. They did not do that. They agreed to help Iran with the automotive industry. They didn't do that. They agreed to release Iran's blocked assets, the frozen assets in the U.S. and some other countries. They have released some parts of the assets that were frozen, but they have not allowed Iran to access its own money. That is, they have put pressure on banks, mostly European banks, not to provide Iran with the facilities and the financial resources that are still somehow, technically speaking, blocked now in the banks.
In the meantime, the U.S. has been pushing to include Iran's missile program in nuclear talks, something that was not even mentioned in the interim deal. But Iran insists it will never negotiate its defense capabilities, including its missiles, with any other country. Iran and the P5+1 will meet in Vienna next week to discuss a comprehensive nuclear agreement. With Iran living up to its commitment, it seems that the only way to reach a final nuclear deal is that the U.S. keep its side of the agreement, too.
You're watching The Debate. Let's first introduce our guests for you in Tehran, Professor Mohammad Marandiu from the University of Tehran, and with us live from Washington with the Center for American Progress, Mr. Lawrence Korb. Welcome, gentlemen, to The Debate. I'll put my first question to Mr. Korb in Washington. Mr. Korb, the nature of the American sanctions, in particular against Iran, we're hearing, has dissuaded many businesses from bothering with Iran, even temporarily. And, you know, they fear, one writer was saying, running afoul of the complicated rules established by the Treasury Department's Office of Foreign Assets Control, as you know, the government's primary enforcer of economic sanctions against Iran. And violators run the risk of severe penalties, including exclusion from the American market. So considering that, do you think that this is actually a deliberate attempt not to allow any kind of sanctions relief, albeit very, you know, minor sanctions relief?
Well, I think that the interim agreement allowed for some sort of sanctions relief, and that has been adhered to not just by the United States, but all of the other countries. And as you know, right now, the Iranians and the Americans are meeting together to smooth the way for an agreement next month with the permanent deal. And if we get a permanent deal, then I think you'll see the sanctions relaxed as people are hoping that they would be.
Well, Professor Marandi, Iran, we're hearing, is seeing less economic benefit than it was promised from that interim nuclear accord. And they're saying in part because foreign companies and banks are unwilling to risk re-engaging the Islamic Republic on a short-term basis. So do you interpret this as a deliberate violation of the deal? In other words, as we said at the beginning of the programme, the sanctions regime has been devised in a complicated way and the relief promised cannot be realised.
Yes, there's no doubt that the United States is dragging its feet and it is attempting to put as much pressure on Iran as possible. This is something that American officials have said on numerous occasions, so it should be no surprise to anyone if this is stated by analysts or by experts or by anyone outside of government. These government officials have stated this. But I think we also have to look at it from a different perspective, and that is that the United States has already weakened the sanctions regime in the long term because it is simultaneously threatening countries like Russia over Ukraine with sanctions. It is threatening China over the South China Sea. And this has drawn China and Russia closer to Iran because now they feel that the United States is beginning to see sanctions as being a tool to use against adversaries. And therefore, there's already talk of finding ways to restructure global commerce and how the global trade functions. This, of course, is not something that is going to happen overnight. But at the end of the day, the United States cannot continue to use sanctions directed at ordinary people as a weapon with impunity and to see them continue to be as effective as before. In the long term, this is going to be a tool that becomes weaker and weaker. For example, when the United States carried out cyber attacks against Iran, which is an act of war, initially they had some success, but then the Iranians began to develop their own defenses, and now the United States is incapable of carrying out the sort of attacks that they carried out before with ease. So it's not as if the United States doesn't pay a price for its actions.
Right, and Mr. Korb, on that note, you said that you think that these negotiations that are taking place between Iran and the U.S. could actually work towards a final deal. But I'll just refer to something else that I was reading about, the humanitarian relief that was promised under the November deal. And according to that deal, the U.S. and its partners had agreed to establish a financial channel to facilitate that humanitarian relief. However, that channel has not been opened. I mean, that's just one of the instances that Iran is saying there's still problems, even when it comes to that humanitarian part of, you know, the food and medicine reaching those who need it. So do you think there is a trust issue remaining, and it's up to the U.S. To win that trust?
Well, there's no doubt about the fact that there's a trust issue on both sides. As you know, people have felt that the Iranians have not been as open to the International Atomic Energy Agency as they would have liked. But that's why you had negotiations. Since we came up with the interim deal, we've had a couple of meetings. And I think the meeting that they're having right now, as we speak, should be able to deal with those issues. The United States has sent two of its highest-ranking negotiators here because they're so serious about this. Ambassador Bill Burns, who's the number two in the State Department, and Jake Sullivan, who is the National Security Advisor to the Vice President, are there. So I think that this is the time to get those issues on the table.
And Mr. Marandi, do you think that, as Mr. Korb is saying there, do you see this as a sign that the United States has come with goodwill to resolve the issue? We know that Mr. Araghchi, of course, nothing is being said about what's being discussed, but he said, first of all, it's going to be limited to Iran's nuclear issue, and he said that because Washington is the main side imposing unilateral sanctions, that's why we're talking with Washington. So do you think this is going to bring about a breakthrough in terms of sanctions relief?